Good morning, my friends. This is missionary James Robinette with Mission East Africa, Uganda. And by the gracious will of the Lord, it is my joy to look to the scripture with you once again this Lord's Day morning. We are continuing in our verse-by-verse exposition of Ephesians chapter 6. I'll soon read some verses from Ephesians 6. Please turn there in your Bibles as you are able to and read along with me. My friends, our contact number is 0782-652-143. Please feel free to give us a call, and you can learn more about our ministry at missionafricajk.blogspot.ug. That's missionafricajk.blogspot.ug. Praise God. Hear now the word of the Lord in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. And verse 9, and you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the precious Holy Word of God that we have received. Dear friends, let us pray. Father of all mercy, we call out to you once again for grace and help now in our time of need. And we pray that your Spirit will come to us and that he will open up our hearts and minds to the Word of God, that we may learn about Christ, that we may come to Christ, that we may enjoy Christ, your blessed, beloved Son, in this time as we hear your precious word. We pray that your word will be effective to cause us to grow in spiritual knowledge and grace. And we pray, too, that your word will transform us, change us, renew our minds, our hearts, and in this process transform us and make us ever more perfectly like your blessed Son, the Lord that we love, the Lord who has given his blood to save his people. And so bless your people with precious truth once again and achieve your purposes as you send forth your word to us. We ask it in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen and amen. Praise God. My friends, we're continuing in this section of verses, that is Ephesians 6, 5 through 9, to talk about the issue of the obedience of bondservants or slaves to their masters. And as you might remember from previous sermons, from Ephesians chapter 5, we have been dealing with the teaching of the apostle with the issue of submission to authority, to God-appointed authority. And we saw there in Ephesians chapter 5 that God calls Christian wives to submit to their husbands. And he calls Christian husbands to love their wives. In chapter 6, we see that God calls children to obey their parents in the Lord because this is the right thing. That is to submit to the authority of their parents. And we find in this section, Ephesians 6, 5 through 9, God's call, his word to slaves and masters. And in this section of verses, we see that bondservants are to submit themselves to an appointed authority, the authority of their masters, and that masters are to treat their slaves well. They are to do goodwill in doing service to their slaves. And today, we want to transition now to Romans chapter 13. And we see in this chapter another area of God-appointed authority and submission. We see in Ephesians, as we have, that God requires submission to authority in the family and in the workplace, to make modern application. the slave-master relationship in our time gives way to the relationship of the worker and the supervisor or employer. And in Romans chapter 13, we see that God requires submission to the government authorities. And so we're going to look at some verses here in Romans 13 in just a moment. But let's remember that we can define authority as the right to enforce obedience, which means also the right to punish disobedience. And as we see so clearly in Romans 13, this is appointed by God. This is God's will that the authorities that exist are appointed by God, and that the authorities that exist are authorized, that is, empowered. They are given a right by God to enforce obedience and therein also punish disobedience. As God-appointed authority enforces obedience, it also rewards obedience. And we're going to see that so clearly in these verses in just a moment. And so we want to see today, as we better understand Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9 about slaves and masters or workers in the workplace in submission to their superiors, to their employers, that authority, all authority is appointed by God. We're going to see that very clearly in the scripture in Romans 13. God governs through these appointed authority structures. God governs in His mercy, in His grace, in His benevolence in the family. He governs the wife, the husband, and their relationship. He governs the children in relationship to the parents. God is governing even in the workplace, in this area in which there is a tendency for sin and for disobedience to authority. There is tension many times between workers and supervisors or employers. God is working through these appointed authority structures to build and maintain order, a measure of harmony and peace. And again, simply, this is God's vehicle. This is God's way of restraining evil and of encouraging obedience and in rewarding obedience, in this sense of showing mercy. And so God is constantly working as He rules in the government He has appointed in His creation through these God-appointed authority structures. Praise God. And we must thank God for His government, because as we see so clearly here in Romans 13, God is a great and gracious and merciful God who intends that men would live in a measure of order and harmony. He is working to restrain evil and sin, which brings about rebellion, therefore disorder, disharmony, pain and suffering. And amazingly, He is working in all of these ways, in all of these authority structures, in this great work of benefiting mankind. Praise God. And so we can thank God for the authorities that He has appointed. We can thank God for the authority structure in the family, between the husband and wife and children, and in the workplace, and yes, in the civil government. The peace and benefit that we enjoy in our lives comes to us in great measure through these authority structures. And as Christians, we are very specifically called to recognize that as we submit to God-appointed authority, we are indeed firstly submitting to God Himself, who has all authority and from whom all authority is derived. Praise God. Now, this is really amazing. God builds these structures, this hierarchy, this structure of ranking from highest authority to structures of authority under the highest of authority. We could think of this as an intermediate level of authority to the lowest levels of authority. Praise God. These structures are appointed that there may be some order in this world in which sin exists and therefore rebellion and disorder and confusion exists. And sin always brings about pain, suffering, ultimately death, absolute misery. And so God, through these means, these authority structures of varying levels of authority and therefore power, governs His creation. And so we understand that God has appointed two primary spheres of authority in the creation, and that is firstly the church and secondly the state. Praise God. The church governs the spiritual areas of life. Spiritual aspects of life is under the responsibility and authority of the church. And the state is appointed with a civil authority. That's simply a word that means pertaining to citizens. And so the state's God-appointed authority is to govern, to ensure a measure of harmony and order, therefore a measure of security, a measure of the restraint of evil and rebellion in this civil aspect of life. Praise God. And so we understand that for a man to be really at peace, that he must come under the authority of the church. And the authority of the church, that is the believing, the true church, the church that believes that the Bible has sole and final authority. The church is composed, as we have said before, of truly born-again people. And so the church governs, the church is authorized to proclaim the gospel, to teach the Bible, and to lead the people in discipleship, to perfect them spiritually. And as people come under the submission spiritually of Christ and His church, we enjoy the peace of God, which surpasses understanding. We turn from the rebelliousness of our sinful heart and ways. We submit, we surrender to Christ and His government. We come under the authority of the faith. We follow the Bible. We follow God's appointed authority structure in the church through the elders and officers of the church. We, in this, are really obeying Christ, who is the head of His church, who is working through the authority structures, spiritual authority structures in the church. And so we listen to Him in the Bible. We learn of Him. We obey His word, His commandments to us. And in this, we are faithful in the church. Praise God. We enjoy the benefits and rewards of obedience in the church as born-again believers, as members of the spiritual body of Christ, Christ the head, commanding obedience, the members submitting, obeying Christ, enjoying the reward of obedience, and yes, experiencing the chastisement of Christ the head when we, as members of this spiritual body, sin against Him and we are chastised, corrected, brought back into obedience. And so, again, you see the dynamic working through the appointed authority in the church. Men come into the enjoyment of salvation and peace, the rule of the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly the same dynamic that works in God's second appointed authority structure in the civil realm. That is, through the state. Obedience to the state, as we see here, is rewarded, and there is a measure of peace, a measure of benefit that comes to citizens. But if we rebel against the state, then it is that we are also subject to punishment by the state, because the state, also civil government, is appointed by God to govern us in this sense. So let me read for you now in Romans 13, beginning in verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Praise God. And let me just mention in context that Romans chapter 13 continues, and Paul instructs that Christians are not to be in debt. They are to pay others their debts. If you owe someone money, God requires that you pay the money, that you not live in a debt situation in which you forfeit to pay the debts that you have. And he says there is one debt that you must continually pay, and that is you must continually love others, especially other Christians. He says we are indebted to God, who has saved us and brought us into saving love. We owe him a debt. We are required to love others. This is his commandment. And Paul tells us that the commandments of God are given, and that they mean simply, in effect, and we are to practice obedience to the commandments in this: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not harm a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, the connection clearly to the verses I read to you about submission to government, to the state, really is so clear here. That is that Paul is really leading us to understand that obedience to Christ in submission to the state involves love to our neighbor. That's the very next thing that he teaches us. Fulfill this constant love for all people, for your neighbor. Constantly pay the debt of love, if you will, to all. And then, in the last section of verses in Romans 13, Paul then takes us from the requirement that we love all people to the truth that we are to be Christ-like. That is, that we must turn from sin, turn from works of darkness, turn to Christ and fulfill the will of Christ for us as we are true and holy people, loving God and loving our neighbor turning from sin, making no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Again, you can see the progression in thought here, and the connection is quite clear. The point that I want to make now is that submission to the state really involves God's great primary commandment to us to love our neighbor, praise God, and to be Christ-like, to turn from sin. And praise God, we thank God for His precious word to us that teaches us how it is that we are to live. Now, just keep in mind that we're trying to better understand authority generally, and here civil authority, so that we can better understand the concept, the truth that Paul is talking about there in Ephesians chapter 6, in that slaves, Christian slaves, must love their neighbor and show proper submission to God's appointed authority structure in their particular circumstances, even in slavery, and so obey their masters. And likewise, masters are to love their slaves and do them good because they are in authority over the slaves. One of the requirements of the state is that the state exists to, in a sense, do good to its citizens. The state is given the authority by God to rule with military might, that is the sword, as it is commonly thought of. God has appointed the state with the right to enforce its laws through military or police action. At times, of course, in this fallen world, that is necessary. We have been experiencing a time here in Uganda, Kampala particularly, in some recent months, in which we see that the government, which is authorized to take up the sword to stop disobedience, to stop rebellion, that's really the biblical idea here, when there is actual physical rebellion that would lead to violence or harm, even war, the government is authorized to use its military might, its police, to stop rebellion, stop violence, and therefore bring good and bring peace, maintain peace and protect its citizens from violence, from rebellion. And so let me just mention at this point that we find in the Bible clear teaching that we are always to obey the appointed authorities, except when the appointed authorities command us to sin. Then it is that Christians are to disobey the command of any appointed authority to sin. Now, what that means simply is that the husband, an appointed authority over his wife, let's take that situation for an example. If the husband commands his wife to sin, she is not to sin against God. She is to disobey her husband at that point. If parents command their children to sin, the child is to disobey at that point, you see. If a master commands his slave to sin, the slave is to disobey at this point. If the government commands its citizens to sin, citizens are to disobey at this point, to not sin against God. Praise God. But again, back to the truth that God has appointed the authority in the church and in the state, we see that this God-appointed authority in the state, in government, is a good. It is intended and it is used by God as a good to us. That's absolutely clear in Romans chapter 13. Now, it's interesting to remember for a moment that Paul lived in a time in which the Roman Empire was the government of the day. Rome ruled in Israel in Paul's time, and Rome ruled in the Mediterranean world and in other parts of the world too. Rome also ruled in North Africa in those days. But the government that Paul is calling Christians to submit to be subject to, at the time of the writing was the Roman Empire. And for the most part, in these earlier writings of Paul, in the earlier years of the church, of the Christian church, Rome was known for its cruelty and for its wickedness. For instance, the Roman government would actually pay for and support and encourage the gladiator matches in the huge arenas. The government did this, Paul was aware of this, actually taking tax money from the people. They tax the money. Note that Paul instructs us here that Christians are to pay their taxes. We remember that Jesus paid the temple tax. Jesus was in submission to the church authority of the time. He paid the required temple tax, and he got the temple tax for Peter and himself through a fish, miraculously. You remember, he sent Peter to get the temple tax that it was right that he paid as a Jewish man, and he paid the tax too for Peter, and Peter got the money that was needed out of the mouth of a fish. Well, that's kind of a digression, but the point being that Jesus paid the taxes that was required. He said, pay to Caesar what is Caesar's, give to God what is God's. Same teaching that Paul gives us here, pay the taxes to the government. Though, in many ways, the Roman Empire as a whole, and particularly its government, was corrupted. It was oppressive for the peoples that it conquered. It was harsh. It ruled with a rod of iron. The benefit of the Roman government indeed existed, but the harsh consequences of disobedience to the Roman government also existed. It's interesting, too, that the Roman government at various times in its history also required that its citizens worship false gods. And yet, the clear teaching here is that Christians were to submit to this government, though it was wicked in many ways. And so the key to understanding this section of verses, and it's going to help us to understand the issue of obedience of slave to master too, is that in that in which the authority structure is responsible and demands obedience, the Christian is to render obedience to the point that the authority commands a Christian to sin. And so we have in our historical record many examples, many times in which Christians refused the government commandment to pray to idols, this dark worship. They refused it, and the consequence at various times in Roman history was that great persecution came upon Christians. They would be killed for disobedience, a civil disobedience, as the Roman government saw it. And so nevertheless, the Roman government, with its wickedness, was appointed by God to exist, and so believers must obey the government in that which was right for them to obey the government. And that principle is true for us today too, my friends, of course. Romans 13 teaches us that believers are to be subject to the governing authorities. Now, this is interesting because this plays out in many ways. Our time is gone today. Perhaps we'll be able to talk about this at another time. But let me very quickly mention that Chinese Christians who must meet in secret churches because the communist government in authority over them does not permit them to meet publicly. This situation in which Christians must disobey the appointed government is rather difficult, of course, and the consequence is suffering and persecution, but they are true to God in this. And so another example of the complexity of some of these situations involves, for instance, in America, the abortion issue. The government of America taxes its citizens. We pay taxes. And then the taxes, at least some of the tax money, is used in the funding of legalized abortion or murder. And so the complexity in this issue is pretty clear, I think. Should a Christian in good conscience pay tax to a government that would then use the tax money for evil purposes? Well, back to Christian history, back to the Bible, Christians are to pay their taxes. Jesus tells us, pay your taxes to the government, but if the government commands you to sin, don't sin. And so, you see, the tax money that is used by the government of the United States to fund this sin of abortion comes from, in many cases, Christians who are fulfilling the commandment of God to pay their taxes. And I really believe in this because God is the source of authority. God is working through these authority structures, even when authority structures command sin or are acting sinfully in themselves. In all of this, God's clear word to a Christian helps us to understand that we are simply responsible to do what God requires of us. Every person must give an account for themselves to God. And so the individuals who comprise a government which commits evil must give an account to God for their governance, which is committing evil, which leads others to commit evil, perhaps. But the Christian is simply responsible to God to obey the clear instruction of the Word of God. And the simple, clear way of thinking about this as you work through this issue in your life, dear friend, is that the Bible teaches you to obey the authorities, except in the case where you are clearly commanded to personally sin against God. Amen. Well, there's so much more to say, but we'll continue next Lord's Day to talk a bit more about authority, the state authority here in Romans 13, again, with the intent that it will help us to understand the authority structure in the slave-master relationship. Praise God. Father, thank you for the word today. Bless it to our hearts. Help us to understand these issues. Help us to know what is right in your sight. And we pray for the governments of the world. We pray for Uganda's government that the God-appointed authority in Uganda would have wisdom, that the individuals who comprise the government would have wisdom and insight into what is right and what is wrong, and will therefore govern the people in righteousness in a great measure. Lord, I pray that for my country of America, that our leaders would understand the right and that the laws, the civil laws, would be in accord with that which is right and therefore be a blessing to the nation. And so we thank you, Lord. Help us to submit to God-appointed authority in every way and help us not to sin against you. In the name of Jesus the Lord we pray. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.